This Bee Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies EdTech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K to 12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it helps you assess student performance through actionable real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of different tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE.
Teal Talk Radio, Season 7, Episode 34. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 34 of TL Talk Radio. I'm Lynn Funy-Hatton.
And I'm Randy Ziegenfuss. Today we're speaking with Kevin Anselmo, creator of the Global Innovators Academy and the instructor of the Interview and Innovator Experience. Previously, Kevin was director of public relations for Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, and prior to that managed the media relations for IMD in Switzerland. Kevin lived and worked in Switzerland for 8 years and in Germany for 2 years. He's led communications initiatives in various countries around the world. The Global Innovators Academy provides students and young professionals with exposure to innovative and entrepreneurial thinkers through an experiential communications training program that enables participants to be more marketable and innovative in a disruptive world.
Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
It is my pleasure to be with you, Randy and Lynn. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Our pleasure.
So where are you located today, Kevin?
I am located in sunny Sarasota, Florida.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Here we are, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Although it is gorgeous outside, it's still sunny and 85, so no complaints today. So yeah. Let's kick off our conversation today with a personal story about what brought you to creating the Global Innovators Academy.
Yeah, thank you. I like to say I have two children, two young sons, and Global Innovators Academy is my third child. Something very special to me, a project that's near and dear to my heart. Something that's kind of been percolating for years. And essentially Global Innovators Academy, I think it really did come about over the course of, you know, various experiences that I had throughout my professional journey. But I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you're listening to something or you're reading a book and just that aha moment goes off. And for me, that happened in 2018. I was listening to the audio book of Most Likely to Succeed by Ted Wintersmith and Tony Wagner. And they had a chapter in the book I was listening to on communication. And I copied this before our show just to share with your listeners. And I can just read a few sentences from the book, but basically it's this paragraph that basically, when I heard this, I said, I gotta launch this Global Innovators Academy. And so basically it says, students need to be writing constantly. Learning to write well, like any other skill, takes many, many hours of practice. Second, students need to write for a real audience and to receive regular, structured feedback from their audiences. And as I was listening, this idea of Global Innovators Academy, letting students write articles based on interviews and then creating that content for a real audience, publishing it online, hearing feedback not only from a professor or a teacher, but also from a public audience, and then thinking about the different benefits that come about as a result of that. And so it was just kind of funny how hearing that excerpt from the book as I was driving in North Carolina at the time, I just wanted to turn around and go back home and start working on this project. And I've been thankful that I've been able to do that over the last couple of years.
What a great story. So let's move into the conversation around the Academy and particularly the Interview and Innovator program. So tell us more about that and what important life and career skills are students in the program building?
Yeah, great. Let me ask you, Randy and Lynn, did either of you ever do an informational interview at any point in your educational journey?
I feel like this is a trick question.
No, it's not.
Informational interview, like job interview or interview to learn something. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you did that. And Ray, did you ever do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, I did that as well. And it was a, you know, great experience. I was interested in sports journalism at the time. I interviewed a sports reporter at the local newspaper, came back to my dorm room. I was in college at the time, wrote a paper for the professor, and voila, it was finished. And what I like to think about is there were so many missing parts. That's traditionally what we think of an informational interview. So probably similar to the experiences you had. And what I think is, what a missed opportunity to actually take that experience to the next level. So what I think about the interview and innovator program, it's really informational interview 2.0, because the students are going to go out and do interviews with innovators, people whose work is of interest to them. And then they are going to not only just go back and say, thank you very much, and you know, that's the end of the dialogue, but they're going to go back and they're going to write an article that is then published online. And what happens as a result of that? Well, there's several things. First of all, there's actually something in it for the person who's being interviewed, right? They're going to get a little bit of exposure, but the student's work is public. The student's work is noticed. The student is learning communication skills. They're learning networking skills. They're gaining inspiration about careers in different ways. And then they're building a digital footprint that makes them more marketable. And so I've been fortunate to work with a number of different students in different contexts going through this experience, teaching them, you know, who should you interview? How do you go about doing an interview? Then once you've done that interview, how do you write an article? How do you then get approval for the article to publish it online? How do you edit the article? And then how do you promote that article so that way it stands out, and so that way you, the student, are more marketable. And so it's been a great pleasure to go through that experience and give that experience to students in a number of different capacities.
So one of the connections I'm making is actually, Lynn, you remember a couple seasons ago, Julia Freeland Fisher and Who You Know?
I absolutely love that book.
Yeah.
I have a whole blog post about Julia's book, Who You Know, because it's essentially, you know, it is a really practical way to put that into practice.
Yeah, and just the importance of young people developing those networks and, you know, how that feeds into the whole equity conversation. And that was a really good conversation. So your explanation around the program really made me think back to that connection.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. And that was, you know, it's one of those things we put so much emphasis on, and Julia speaks about this much more eloquently than I do, but we put so much emphasis on what we know. And the reality is many of the job opportunities, many of the different opportunities that we receive in life are a result of who you know. And obviously you need to know something. I'm not saying you should not gain new knowledge and skills, but you need to be able to connect those new knowledge and skills to individuals that can help you find the right opportunities. And I think there's obviously several different ways you can go about doing that, but I think creating content, reaching out to, you know, I've been fortunate to have podcasts over the years. I've created a lot of articles over the years as a professional. And I think one of the best ways to actually have a conversation with someone to increase your network is to go out and do interviews, kind of like what you're doing here, like what a lot of people are doing whenever they do create content.
So certainly one of those life and career skills is communication. And you've given us a really good example of that through the interview process. What are some other life and career skills that learners acquire throughout this program?
You know, it's been fascinating. I've been working with Southern New Hampshire University's Global Education Movement. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that program, but it's basically a program for refugee learners. So these are university students who are refugees in different refugee camps in primarily in Lebanon, Rwanda, and Kenya. Those are primarily the students I've been working with from those different countries. But I think this is true for also a typical US kid who's either in high school. My program is primarily for high school students, juniors and seniors, trying to think about what they want to major in, think about if they want to go to college, think about career opportunities. As well as for college students, and you know, the outcomes, the goals are a little bit different in terms of, you know, what should an internship look like, or should I continue pursuing this major? Should I go to graduate school, et cetera? But working with Southern New Hampshire University's Global Education Movement, it's been fascinating to work with these refugee students. And one of the things that's really come out is that kind of an unintended consequence, unintended benefit is confidence, right? And so a lot of the students, actually, you know, if I think about it too in my life, a lot of the students share with me, like, wow, I had the opportunity to interview somebody, to interview a professional. And so, you know, a refugee student in Rwanda is interviewing a government official in New Zealand. That person is doing that interview from their community where they live, doing that interview with this government official in New Zealand, and then writing an article based on that interaction. A student in Lebanon, for example, is interviewing the CEO of a nonprofit organization in New York. Another example, a student in the US, she is in Arizona, a high school student, and she's interviewing an entrepreneur who's in Seoul, South Korea. So I absolutely love the idea of giving students exposure to the world and having them go about doing these different interviews. And also, like, just hearing, like, obviously that builds your network. Obviously that's a great way to learn about another person's culture, to learn about another person's career journey, to hear, I call this program Global Innovators Academy, because, you know, the idea for me is innovation is about coming up with new solutions to different problems, to different challenges, and hearing from other experts, hearing the stories about how other people have done that, I think is one way how we gain inspiration about what innovation is. And then we think about how we might go through that process ourselves, how we might take some of that best practice. Similar to the example I shared of reading from Ted Dintersmith and Tony Wagner's book, you know, that was their little excerpt there about the importance of communication skills. I've taken that to the next level and applied that for myself. And I think exposing students to ideas and then giving students the confidence that they can go out and network, they can go out and bring value to other people. That's been a great benefit. One of the things I believe is it's really important to speak to professionals. And I think this is something true for young people. I actually think it's something true for people who are older and in the middle of their career. Talk to other people, gain inspiration. You know, in some cases, you know, you might want to be a lawyer as a kid, and, you know, go out and speak to a lawyer, find out about their job. And if that job sounds interesting, great, you know, keep going on. If that job sounds horrible, well, guess what? Maybe you should think about what you'd be studying. And so it's been really encouraging to hear the different, and when I work with the students, I have them basically structure their article in three ways. They first write about the journey of the person who they've interviewed. They then write about what are the kind of the tips that person can share related to innovation, career success. And then the third part, and I think the most important and fun part that I enjoy editing, is what is the student going to do as a result? What is the student's action points? And there it's fascinating to read how, you know, one student interviewed an entrepreneur in the Sudan, somebody who started a soap company, and this guy wrote, I want to start my own soap company. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. In other cases, it's not always that like glorious, but in other cases, it's like, this gave me confidence that I should be, you know, looking for mentors, or I should be developing my personal brand, or whatever it may be. It could also be like, now a student hasn't written this, but if a student were to write, like, I don't really want to go in that career. That for me is a win, because that helps, you know, crystallize the thinking. So I think those are some examples and some benefits related to the experience.
So recently you shared with us an article on content learning, and we'll link that in our show notes as well so our listeners can check that out. But talk to us a little bit more about this idea of content creation and how it connects to what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess let me ask you this, Randy and Lynn. Have you ever created content?
That one we know.
Yeah, okay. You've created content. I know you're creating content because I listen to your podcast. You know, you create content because you want other people to benefit. But how often have you created content and it's like, I don't care if anybody else listens to this podcast, or I don't care if anybody reads this blog post or whatever. I've learned so much. Has that happened to you before?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, for me as well, you know, I think it's fascinating. I was reading recently Jeff Bezos's book, or somebody who had written a book about Jeff Bezos. I think Brad Stone is the author. And one of the things that happens at an Amazon meeting, which I think is fascinating, where if you have an idea that you want your colleagues to consider, to implement, that person needs to write a some sort of document. It's a couple page document. And Bezos explains why he thinks that is so important, and it like crystallizes your thing. And when you know, I think just blurting out whatever that person's idea is one thing, but I think when we have to sit down and write about what that idea is, it really forces you to try to, you know, gain clarity. It forces you to you know, explore different questions, explore different gaps in your thinking. And so in this article that you mentioned about content learning, I see there's four main benefits in terms of creating content to learn. And that is to crystallize our thinking, to grow our networks, to spark curiosity, and to inspire us to innovate. And, you know, there's this whole idea around content marketing and, you know, let's create content and get thousands of people to download our podcast or to get thousands of people to download the white paper or read our book or whatever it might be. That's great. I mean, I've created lots of content over the years, and I love when I see high numbers of people who are consuming my content. But there's also, you know, it's hard to really build an audience, a massive audience. And that motivation of let me become, you know, famous or popular is a bit short-sighted, in my opinion. And I think if we can help, and this is true for ourselves as maybe mid-career professionals, but also for young people, you know, create content to learn. Create, you know, write a blog post based on an interview with somebody. And whether that blog post is read by 10 people or 100 people, think about what have you learned? How can you crystallize your thinking, grow your network, spark your curiosity, and gain inspiration on how to innovate by creating that piece of content? And I think it relates very closely, obviously, to some of my goals for the Global Innovators Academy Interview and Innovator experience. And I think it's something that I try to hold, to, you know, keep in mind myself when I'm creating content.
So I'm curious, what is some of the content other than the interview or journal articles that the students might create through the program?
So right now, you know, it's called Global Innovators Academy, and right now there's one program within the academy called Interview an Innovator, and this is a program where this, you know, it's an online course that's complemented by in-person, potentially in-person experiences, but also Zoom calls. As well as I provide in-depth editing for each student's article. So that's the first program in the academy. My vision long-term is that there will be more experiences and there will be more different types of programs that relate to other forms of content creation. I would love to have eventually, as the first program kind of gains traction, I would love to have a show, a program in which students are doing podcasts. I think doing podcasts is a great way, as you know, of connecting with people and, you know, creating something useful for others and, you know, giving visibility for guests like myself, as well as giving visibility for the work that you do. So, you know, that's a program I have in mind. There's other types of programs, maybe potentially around video content, maybe some other things that are around LinkedIn. But right now, starting out with this program, Interview an Innovator, and more writing, more focused on writing based on interviews.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to producing the interview via podcast or vodcast or something down the road. Interesting. Yeah. It could take multiple lenses, right?
Definitely. I mean, that's my goal. I mean, you know, I don't like to put, I'm always cautious about saying this, but, you know, I love Khan Academy and my, you know, my kids use Khan Academy. I've used Khan Academy as somebody a little bit older. And what's great about Khan Academy is there's so many different options. And, you know, my goal is eventually that there is something similar out there that helps students learn about innovation by putting into practice different communications and marketing skills.
So that idea of creating content resonates because that's pretty much how we got started with podcasting too. It was more selfish. It was like, how can we learn? Let's connect with other experts and bring that in. And some of the work that we were doing in the school district at the time, yeah. You know, it really helped resonate for that too. So I think it's good for anyone, regardless of age, to be creating content because it forces you to think. Like writing is thinking. And you know, talking is thinking as well, but I think writing actually forces you to crystallize it even more. So I love that idea of content learning. Thanks for sharing that.
All right, we're at the point in the podcast where we have a few rapid response questions for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, excellent. Who's one expert our listeners should connect with to learn more about communications and networking skills?
So there is an author by the name of Mark Schaefer. It's S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. He's a consultant and he's also a professor. And so I really like his views around communications and marketing. He talks about networking. He also talks about entrepreneurship quite a bit. He recently wrote a terrific book that I just read called Cumulative Advantage. It's basically how do we gain momentum for our ideas. He creates content consistently and I've instilled some of the ideas that I've gleaned from his content into the Global Innovators Academy Innovator Experience. And so that would be my answer to that one.
Excellent. How about if you're recommending one book to our listeners, what might that book be?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to my first response when I talked about Most Likely to Succeed by Tony Wagner and Ted Dintersmith. I really think that's a must read for anybody who's interested in education and innovation and how education should be innovating over time.
I love the movie too, the film.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, last rapid response. What online site or resource or person do you learn from regularly?
So I love the Getting Smart podcast. Coincidentally, I am here in part because I listened to the podcast and reached out to Randy because I had heard Randy on the Getting Smart podcast. I love the content that Tom Vander Ark and his colleagues create on an ongoing basis, both the podcast as well as the written articles. And that would be my recommendation.
It's a great website for anybody looking to go down some rabbit holes, too. Lots of resources there.
All right. To wrap up our conversation here, Kevin, what are you working on that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I guess it would be apropos to be talking about the Interview and Innovator program. I've been fortunate to run this program for different students. I would really love to grow this program the program can be run at scale. Just to share a very quick kind of concluding comment, in one of my last Zoom sessions with the student refugees I worked with, I was getting ready to wrap up the program. And one of the young men said, "Hey, before we conclude, I'd just like to say something." And the guy started crying, saying like, this has been so inspiring that he was able to talk to different innovators and he was able to write all these articles. And no, I truly believe in this experience. I believe it can be really powerful for people. I've seen that firsthand. And I would love to scale this program and work with others. And so if you work at a high school, if you're at the college level, if you want your students to kind of gain some ideas around college and career readiness from a high school perspective, if university level, if you're thinking about students and career development or an entrepreneurship program, I'd love to hear from you. So please reach out to me and love to scale this program with you.
Absolutely. And we'll add your contact information in our show notes, your Twitter handle. People can reach out to you directly and connect with you and maybe provide some examples or new content for you to investigate.
That would be amazing. So
excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin. We really appreciate your time. And to learn more about Kevin's work, you can visit many of the links in the show notes. Lots of resources there, including the books and podcasts that Kevin shared with us.
That's it. Randy and Lynn, thank you so much for the opportunity. I just want to encourage you both to keep creating great content as you do here on this podcast. I really enjoy it, and I trust that many others do as well. So,
thank you.
Thanks so much for those kind words. And as we wrap up our conversation, each episode we leave you with a question to think about with the idea of provoking reflection and conversation. This episode's question: how would your students benefit from connecting and communicating with expert networks outside of your school? If you've enjoyed this episode, would like to comment or check out the resources shared today, visit the show notes at tealtalkradio.org and look for season 7, episode 34. That's all for this episode. We'll be back next week with another conversation featuring other innovative thought leaders. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, and improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all of these goals. That's IXL.com/BE.